Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So the YouTube knows the difference.
Done it again, you dirty little. He's done it again.
YouTube knows the difference.
Yeah.
The
just don't say Scunthorpe slowly.
They still.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to James and Flav for Now. We've got ourselves a cracking podcast. It's got beef. It's got nosh. It's got great comments of the week. It's got a little bit of football chat. It's got a great finally that nearly made me cry. It's got a handsome 11. It's got tipping chat. And it's also...
We talk about Luton Town.
We can touch on Luton Town for sure. For sure. For sure. That's fine. Can I throw in an early hand grenade straight off the bat?
Go on then.
Ready? Jacob Buswell says, I can't be dealing with Flav's waffle about pork belly. I'm triggered.
What did I say was incorrect about
last
pork
week
belly?
You were going off, off about the situation you had at
that.
A restaurant with the,
what was I
the
said?
Over excessive amount of fat in the pork belly that you sent back.
It was 80% fat.
You know pork belly is very fatty.
What, 80% fat and 20% meat is correct when you're already pork belly, right? Tell me that's correct, should I, Jacob Buswell? You know what fucking Jacob Buswell's problem is, right? Is that he just says he's triggered, but he doesn't say why. He just goes, oh, Flav's wrong and I know too much about this to even bother explaining why he's wrong. Yeah,
I fear that he's works in the industry. That's my fear.
Ah, what is a chef? So he knows that's cooking. Is that what he's saying? Studied cookery, is he?
Seems to
know all about every element, part of a. I'm a vegetarian, so I'm really not on solid ground here. But what I'm saying is, I was surrounded by carnivores, and they all thought the pork belly was ridiculously fatty, too much fat, and so much so they said, "We don't mind the fat. Can you send us some meat with it?"
Ooh. You know it's a fatty. You know it's a thing is. This is what winds me up. I'm triggered. You know it's a fatty piece of meat. You know.
Why were they all complaining then? Why did they all complain?
I'll
give you another example. Roast potatoes, cold in the middle.
Oh, can't be having that. Air fry. They bloody air fried that, haven't they? They bloody air fried that.
Do not start attacking air fryers. I will have you know that is the greatest invention since penicillin.
It's so good. I had a full meal made by the air fryer last night.
It's so phenomenal. Easy. It's so much better for you.
Is it?
Anyway, if anyone...
Less electricity as well.
Luke, can you do your job for once, right? Stop texting me in the middle of the day when I'm busy doing other things. I will come back to you. But can you go to Ninja and get him to sponsor this podcast immediately, please?
What, the knife?
Ninja is a brand of air fryer.
Oh.
Right? A good brand. Go to them. Get them to give us money. Go and do your job, Luke.
Okay. By the way, this is being performed at 9:30 on 9:40. No, not 9:30 because we were a little bit late, which is what we were chatting about in the mailbag this week. If you want to become a moist slug, numbers are flying up and we're getting very close to that magical nosh number that is 500. So if you do want to be a part of it, the mailbags, I let go. I think I do let go a little bit of the mailbag. I went after Martin Keown this week.
Yeah.
I was thinking, do I save this for the pod? No, he's winding me up. Let's get it out and I can enjoy the rest.
I saw you tweeted about it as well.
Yeah. Little power move there. You see that? Take a breath.
You're so angry. So angry. What?
Well, it's just, it's not my style normally to go after people. But
I know.
When you oh, it's happening again. When you attack just a lovely old man.
Oh, come on, James. I'm sick of you defending it. What's his name again? Martin Tyler? Is that it?
What's his name again? Yes. The voice of football for the last 25 years. Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe he should retire and let someone else have a go.
Former teammate of my dad, actually. He was a target man at Kingstonian when my dad played there.
Is that true? Belting that nugget.
Yeah. A sign of... Dad, if you're listening, I'm not having a go at your age. It's a wonderful age. But what is telling? Well, I think some things are quite telling in terms of the age of things. And as you get older, you realise that. So, for example, Roy Hodgson, right? Who is still managing. Yeah. Roy Hodgson managed my dad in 1976, I think, for London schools. I think it was for like London, something like that. Or it was for something. He was, one of his first coaching jobs was for London schools, and he managed my dad, and he's still managing. Well done, Roy.
That is incredible. Well, maybe that rumor, did that rumor come from your dad then about the newspapers and the prostitutes?
No, I think that was firmly from you. And steady with that stuff. We got done for not copyright, but we didn't get the ads we deserved last week. And
because of the language.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, and I don't know if it was. We need a new word for Nosh. Do you think Nosh is getting us done, or do you think it's your comments on Roy Hodgson's possible?
Yeah, it might have been that. Enjoyment. Yeah, I made it up. Obviously,
alleged. God bless him. Yeah. But anyway, all right,
look, let's keep it clean then. Let's keep it clean.
Well, or we just need a new word for noshing.
Blowjob?
No, I think that's worse. I think that might be we're done now, aren't we? Cheers. Well done. Well done. Good. Dodge that. That'll save me some editing.
Sorry, James.
Yeah. Also, one final line that you missed from the mailbag yesterday, which had been, I don't know, I don't think I'll ever get past it, is Flav was talking about his brand new YouTube channel, which is out there right now, The Pint Cock. And he said we needed to have a collab. And he said, I need your juice in my channel. Yuck. Yeah.
Can you go and subscribe to The Fighting Cock YouTube channel? Because lots of hard work is going into it. What are you laughing about?
Wow.
Come on. Help me. I need subscribers.
Yeah.
Like and subscribe and comment.
Do you know everyone? But we're all just, everyone's doing, everyone's going, let's record.
Can you put the link in the description? Can you put the link in the description?
Yes. Short. Let's record something really long and chop it up and puff it down. That's what everyone's doing now. Why don't we make bespoke videos anymore? Well, someone does. So feel free to watch those.
You've already got the subs.
Continue to watch the bespoke ones. But if I do put a little slither of my podcast, bloody watch that as well, please. They don't seem to like the ripple effect.
Yeah, but that's not you haven't built that audience. That's not what they expect from you. They expect bespoke content.
Yeah,
that's what they expect. You created
the
one for your back.
Do you think that's it?
Of course. Yeah, okay. Look, if you start going, it's like if you suddenly stop talking about football, stop talking it in a way that they've become accustomed to, they stop watching. They're not loyal.
All right. Noted. I would be intrigued to know what people think about it.
Some of them are. The slugs are, but...
I'm intrigued to know if people enjoy the ripple effect clips or not, or if I should just give up on it. Because it does seem to work for every other content creator. But, I mean, look, no complaints from me, because I found out the numbers for the ripple effect this week, and it's... solid, guys.
Good.
So thank
Good work.
You.
Congratulations, James.
Oh, I'm chuffed about it. We need to get you back on. But I like doing it in person, so we need to do it when you're in London. Anyway.
Well, I'm coming to London next week, aren't I?
Oh, yeah.
So,
pick up a Lifetime Achievement in Podcasting Award. Is that what's
no,
that?
No, have you heard of AVN? The AVN Awards? Just sort of pop along to those.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to red carpet?
AVN.
If you on a red carpet, you know, and then you sort of walk along and then you have to stand behind the wall and take photos. Yeah. I know what you'd do.
You just go like that.
Yeah. all YouTubers are coming and going, yeah, we're just going to take a couple of photos. Oh, okay, yeah, sure. That's amazing. Very good.
Did you see Luton last night?
Well, yeah, you are gasping to talk about Luton.
Were you one of those? Oh no, I'm going to watch the Inter Milan, AC Milan, Milan derby, the Milan derby in the Champions League semi final, Milan derby.
I watched a bit of both, I'll be honest, but more of the Inter Milan game. I'm going up to Manchester today, buzzing to watch probably the highest level of football I've ever watched and watch the second leg. Absolutely buzzing for it. Can't wait.
Good. Good. But you just saw what a passing eye on the fact that Luton Town might be getting into the Premier League, the actual story of the night.
Sunderland were very unfortunate, I will say that, because they've had a lot of injuries. But Luton deserve it. They're allowing us to dream.
Look, I don't care whether they come up or not, but I do want to see Premier League football in that ground. It's mental. It's so small. The camera, just to get the pitch in, the camera has to point right down to the touchline so that. Do you know how close? There is no technical box at Luton. No. They can't fit a technical box in there, right?
Yeah.
When the camera goes down on that wing and it looks down, it's looking directly on the top of the head of the
I know,
winger.
It's amazing. Right. Bit like,
and then, bit like essentially, a foot back is the bench.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Got to get
it's
it.
So
well, they've
tight.
Got to come up.
I don't know if they can like change the stadium and stuff. Tom Jordan is a fan of Bournemouth. He's one of our patrons. And he... is a Bournemouth fan, and the stadium there is pretty tiny. And do you think it makes a difference in the Prem, or do you think they've kind of got used to it now? Because that'll be the thing, won't it? With Luton, they go, ooh, don't want to go to Luton. Ooh, well, there's not loads of space. How will they cope?
I think that is their advantage. If they come up in the first season, that is their massive advantage. Is they just make that uncomfortable as possible, because the players can hear everything. And it's literally, it's not going to stop the better teams in the league, but they would have an advantage there, Luton. I mean, they're not good enough to come up. I mean, sorry, they're not good enough to stay up as they are. So they're going to use if they come up. Yeah, no, yeah. but that last night was loud. It was a bit of a cauldron, some might say.
We see that with Loftus Road as well. Like a tight stadium like that, it can reverberate.
Not intimidating.
Tom Jordan with a power move here. He goes, well, does it make a difference? Well, we're safe with games to spare. Is that good? Very good. Well done.
The thing is, Brent, born for like the weird little anomaly in the league, aren't they? But people are just, they're all right, rappy. I mean, it's got a small, tiny little stadium, but it's quite fun to go to Bournemouth because it's so
nice
weird
place
and
to
tiny.
Live. Yeah, it's a nice place.
It's nice, yeah. And to be fair, the stadium is built. It's newish, and it kind of feels like it's there and it works and it's
certainly
there's enough
there.
Space. Yeah, it's just not enough people. The capacity.
Can we have this as a new bit? I never knew I wanted this until you started saying it's there. As a point to make. Can I just hang on? Go. You got to remember that stadium is there.
It's there.
So the new Samism. I don't want to call it a Flavism. I don't think that's fair, but. We need to find out who it is. I know it's a Campbellism.
What is it you're talking about?
I'm about to explain. No, you haven't done anything wrong. So, like, maybe we'll call this a Campbellism. When someone in punditry says nothing, speaks, and says absolutely nothing. I want a word-for-word description. You can send it to me on Twitter. Ideally in the comments, though, makes it much better.
That's
when
good.
You hear people, because I have this all the time, especially when I'm listening to the radio. Often it's the co-commentators and I'm going, you've not said anything. You're not saying. I'll turn. What was it? Who was it? There was someone on Talk Sport and I looked up to the heavens and I went, he's not saying anything. That's normally my.
By the same token, when they actually say something, they get clipped up, go viral, don't they?
Noise isn't something. You're getting mixed up. Silly hot takes, unnecessary hot takes. It's not saying something.
It's not valued. It's not valuable, but in this modern era, it is valuable. It can be monetized and people make money out of it.
Well, welcome to my biggest frustration in life. But it's also the game we play. It's the game.
Yeah,
week.
If you don't like the...
I think it was Trevor Sinclair. He just literally wasn't saying anything. He was saying stuff, but he wasn't saying stuff. Do you know what I mean?
That's why I was talking, like, we were talking about... I was in the car with the missus yesterday, and we had TalkSport on, and Simon Jordan was talking about this, the fact that Cardiff are suing... Is it Nantes? Nantes?
Oh, there's the ads gone. Cheers.
No, Nantes.
Stop saying it. God,
I'm not saying that. Nantes.
Yes.
Nantes. They're suing him for £110 million over the Salah, you know, the poor geezer who ended and they're suing him for £110 million. Yeah.
Wow.
They won't say exactly how they've come to that figure, but they have because, and that, is it Nice, actually? I can't remember who it was.
I think you're right in what you said.
Nonce. So the YouTube knows the difference.
He's done it again, you dirty little... He's done it again.
YouTube knows the difference.
Yeah.
Just
don't say Scunthorpe slowly.
They still owe Cardiff £10 million for this. Sorry, Cardiff still owes them £10 million.
They paid five million.
And Cardiff kind of counter suing, saying, like, if you hadn't, it was really grim, but they're saying horrific. If you hadn't provided accurate. Anyway, he was going at Simon Jordan was explaining this, and my missus was like, I like this guy. I like listening to this guy. And if there is ever someone who says a lot, but it's all relatively valuable, it is Simon Jordan. On the other hand, you got White. I don't want to go into him again, but he is. That's my head in, he does.
No, he's got some sayings. Of that we're sure. One thing we do know for sure is this story will rumble on. It's 10:30.
News.
Cheers, Jim. Cheers, Jim. When Keown went after Martin Tyler on TalkSport this week, Martin Keown goes, I shouldn't come in with that. He basically tried to drag them into it. And
I was thinking about what you said. I was thinking about what you said.
Go on.
About him and digging out Martin Tyler because, you know, he's not, you know, he perhaps wasn't being, there was some sort of agenda against Manchester.
He's suggesting that Martin Tyler, after 25 years, is such a child that he's desperate for Arsenal not to win the league. Now, but at the same time, supposedly he hates Liverpool as well. And I've found out this week that he's actually a Wickham fan. So he couldn't care less about either of them.
But can I just say that there were people digging him out for his lack of enthusiasm when we're describing Brighton's goals as well. And they were like, this is a commentator who, listen to this commentary of a title running game. And I'm like, he's been doing this for 25 years. You know how many fucking title runnings he's seen? What do you want him to do? Backflips every time Brighton scored.
People can be too screamy as well. Like, there are different, honestly, think about when you're listening to different commentators, because I chat to Seb Hutchinson about this and I thought it was fascinating. He said that different commentators have different styles. And you have to, what needs to be done here is you need to understand those styles. Yeah. And Martin Tyler has a style that has been incredibly successful for an incredibly long time, so much so that he's retained that job for so long. Now, should he move on? Are we getting to that point? Maybe. But don't say he's got some stupid agenda. It's just utter nonsense from Mark Keown. And you can't, that's so damaging because anything that he says now about Arsenal, it's already happened for Liverpool. Anything he says about Arsenal now, he's just people are going to go, Martin was right. Martin Keown was right. He's not. Stupid comment. Anyway, on your running order that you sent me on WhatsApp, which you should do every week, I really enjoy it. I want Luton up. Mental little ground. I love De Zerbi. Arsenal apparently not bottle jobs because City are good. Madness.
Yeah, do you hear this? Look, I don't want to go through it. I'm not going to do the next 10 minutes of Arsenal bottling the league and that, even though...
It's been done.
But what was it that is Goldbridge? Goldbridge said, Arsenal cannot bottle a league if Manchester City get 94 points. That means they have to get 95 points to win the league. That's not how this works. You don't revise it after the fact they have bottled it. You can't be ahead, that far ahead, and not win the league and then go, actually, no, we didn't bottle it. We didn't bottle it. That's not how it works, firstly. Secondly, it's up to us to decide whether or not you bottled it. It's not you.
Who's us?
Everybody. The football community. We decide. Okay. We decide if you bottled it. Some of us, the weak ones amongst us, might go, oh, no, because Man City are really good. Therefore, Arsenal couldn't have bottled it because they never really stood a chance. Even though they were 11 points ahead at one stage in the season.
Sure.
But you've got to remember, Manchester City, that's not how this works. It doesn't matter. At that point, you had that advantage. You let it go by drawing to Southampton, West Ham.
Okay.
It's a bottle job.
Right, just to finish on that, on your definition of it, are you, if you go 10 points...
I don't want you playing devil's advocate here.
No, I'll tell you what I think. I did a video going into more detail, but I'll give you the short version.
Go on.
But if you go 15 points clear, but it's November, and you don't win it, is it date and points? Or is it just points?
I think it's less effective if it's that early in the season, but I think as a Spurs fan, I have the right to use it still, yes?
It's a smaller bottle. Okay, fine.
But that's not what happened, though, was it?
No.
No.
Exactly. So, patrons, let's have a vote. Bottle.
Mate, Rob's just said this. Rob's just said in the comments. Flav's been cashing in on his bottle job call from December. didn't I say, look, I said Arsenal going to win it, but if they didn't, this is going to be great.
We can see it in your eyes. We can see it in your eyes. And do you know what? Do you know what's great? Does part of you go, once you calm down, you go, can't wait for the overlap in August. It must be buzzing for the next one.
The last one was good. The last one was good because they got absolutely panned and they were a lot less chippy this time than they were the time
I loved
before.
I love the way you say good. No one says good the way you say good. He's going, good. He's just a tiny bit longer. Here's my take on it, right? So yeah, put in bottle or didn't bottle it in the chat and we'll see what everyone thinks. I think my official stance is it was a bottle because as we discussed on the podcast a few weeks ago, and I think this is legit, is that the new standard for, and it's been there for a couple of years now, but these are the facts. You need 90 points to win the league.
They should have got it.
Should be getting 90. They should have got 90 points with the games that they had left. The most they can get is 87. And therefore, they did bottle it.
Can I ask, what's a bigger bottle job? What they've done, or Spurs not winning a single game against Liverpool in a Champions League final?
Oh, a single game. What's a bigger bottle job? Arsenal's, that's a bigger bottle job.
100%. There we go.
Okay. All right.
They still your sweet, sweet fucking gunners, are they?
It turns
not
a little
sweet
bit
anymore,
sour.
Are they?
It turns out it was sweet and sour. Yeah, a little bit of sherbet in there, sadly. I bloody enjoyed them. But do you know what I think as well? Everyone was always going, could they? Because I think deep down, everyone's thinking, surely something will, not to this extent, but you thought they would fall away.
There was a little bit in me, Jim, still, that what if Man City lose every one of their games?
I don't think I ever said they will win it. I think I said they could. I never said they will win it because Man City never really took a proper backward step.
They were weak. They were weak. They were trying to figure out how to make it work at the start of the season. And you often see this from Man City and Pep Guardiola's team, especially if they bring players in. They don't start the season running. It's like they might be getting wins, but it's kind of a bit stop-starty.
Not
and then it
fully
gets
cooking.
When it starts cooking like this. Mm. Unbelievable.
So Arsenal essentially have blasted the oven. They've been cooking, sure. But then they've just left it to stand. Now it's gotten cold. And you're eating it. And it's just like, oh, but it's cold. That's Arsenal. So they were cooking.
They were cooking. Well, I mean, look, as an Arsenal fan, you are starting to ask questions of Arteta. You should, because this is twice his team hasn't had the mental
I said the same
ability
thing. I said the
and
same
aptitude
thing.
in order to see it run.
What I will say, Flav, is this cannot be happening three times. It can't happen three. You can't do that. You can't completely fall away three times. That's not a good look.
They're talking about the squad. We need players, but Partey has been woeful last 2 months.
Lost his way, hasn't he?
Lost his way completely. So we'll see, won't we?
I want to pick up this thing because me and Loz were on the train to Anfield last week, and I might have spoken about this on other things, but maybe this is the place for it to really like kick off. You know, everyone's talking about cooking, right?
Yeah.
I think there's different. He was saying some teams aren't cooking; they're microwaving. He was saying Unai Emery that they're not cooking yet; he's just microwaved them. and so then as the weekend progressed, Allardyce, Leeds scored, and Loz messaged me going, "Are Leeds cooking?" And I went, "No." I went, "Allardyce is just heavily seasoning Leeds right now."
Yeah.
So I'd like to know what, like, about your club, in what, you know, what way are you cooking? You know, are you in the air fryer? Are you being poached?
We're currently defrosting.
Yes.
Spurs.
Yeah. You've literally just gone past your sell-by date.
I've never hated my
football. Actually, Tottenham have gone past their sell-by date sort of in, I don't know, January, and then we've still had to eat it anyway because there's nothing else there.
Do you know what they came out with this week, James? I think Nagelsmann's for us.
We're not going to interview him. I found that hilarious. No. We're not. No. He hasn't turned us down. We're not interviewing him.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
This isn't a right fit. I don't think this is right for Tottenham. Well, yeah, Pochettino.
Good, young, visionary, loads of energy. Probably shouldn't get him anyway. Not for us.
What, Pochettino? What, he's going to go to one of our main rivals in Chelsea. Should we stop that happening?
Nah.
Leave it. Let's see what happens. We've got a better option. Where? Who? Who could possibly be better than Pochettino or Nagelsmann? Tell me in the comments, please. Someone who, obviously, the obvious answer is no one. But if someone's got the answer, let me know what it is.
Joe, I love it. When you read
currently, Narco. People are trying. Currently, people are going. It's Arne Slot, who's had 1 year as a, you know, he's won the Premier League. Sorry,
Johnny,
1 year of
Johnny deputy. Johnny P saying it's Arne Slot time.
Is it though?
Johnny P also suggests that Spurs are fermenting. Yeah. That's a good point.
We're like the egg under the ground that's like a delicacy that's been fermenting for 16 months. Then you eat it and it's putrid.
Cameron Fraser with a bit of optimism. He says apparently an argument is going to sign a 3-year deal with Spurs. When did you read that? 2 weeks ago.
You can say anything with apparently. Apparently.
Yeah, allegedly. Surely.
Not my words.
Apparently. The top gear
magazine.
Do you know what I love as well? I read an article this week and it was saying that they're now looking to draft up a shortlist. I was like, what the fuck? It's a 10-minute task.
I can fucking do it now. Look, it's a pen of paper. Nagelsmann, Poch, fucking Alonso. Arne Slot, done. Company. There's our list.
Right,
Poch
you can't have. Nagelsmann, apparently we're not going to interview. Essentially, he's turned us down. Company signed a 5-year deal. Arne Slot, right, okay, we'll get him in. We're doing it. Like, do you know what I mean? It's a 5-minute thing. I've seen that with, like, when they do sort of recruitment. Now, it's gone to the next level now, so you do need to really do your work. But for a period of time, the top clubs just went, well, who are the best players? Yeah, we'll have him. Yeah, we'll have, who should we get in? Aguero. Yeah, he's been banging the goals for Athletic. All right, yeah, go on, we'll have him. Like, it's not that hard. Just getting, like, how is it taking this long? And you're going to end up with a tosser. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's just, I do you know what the best thing? The best thing is being in the period of due diligence as a fan. That's what you want to hear from your own, not ambition. Let's hear about due diligence. What are we going to do in the transfer market? What are we going to do? We're going to wait for regulation. That's what it is. That's the Spurs. We do due diligence with the managers and then we wait for regulation in the transfer market. And it's fucking brilliant. I love it.
Little mid hand grenade from Stoko Pops here. Luke, he says, this has got Ralph Hasenhüttl written all over it. 100%. How do you spin that one? How do you spin that one if you get him?
No, I do not spin it. I want fucking Daniel Levy's head on a spike is what I want.
Okay. Do you think Poch will do well at Chelsea?
Yes. He's going to do brilliantly at Chelsea. He's going to win trophies at Chelsea. And we'll have to watch it happen. We are going to have to listen to Chelsea fans singing his name because of Daniel Levy.
Yeah,
you
just
know
can't.
How depressing that is.
I can't get my head around the idea of Chelsea fans liking him. I just can't get it.
They'll like him when they see the football. They'll like him when they're winning. It doesn't matter.
You love De Zerbi, do you?
Good manager.
Yeah. You want good him, manager. Mate, he's the guy, isn't he?
Yeah, 100% he's the guy. Of course we're not going to go and get him.
But you had a little, you know, fisticuffs with him.
Oh, yeah, he's a bit of a knobhead. But if he's your knobhead, then all good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Catherine just said, I'm rattled. I'm not rattled. I'm just desperately unhappy.
Oh, mate. Yeah, exactly. Someone said, I don't know if it's in one of the comments, but someone said that I sometimes think about Flav and if he supported another team, if he'd be happier. If it was like a sort of, not, if you supported like a, like,
yes.
a, like a Sheffield United or something.
Yeah, because it's a different dynamic. It's a different dynamic completely. Like, I think most of the time...
What percentage of the time does Tottenham make you happier in your lifetime? And what percentage has it made you less happy?
I don't know. It's hard. That's hard to answer. But what I can say, in the last 3 years, I would say Tottenham has directly made my life worse. My life has been worse for supporting Tottenham. In the last 3 years, it's damaged my life.
Yeah.
Tottenham have damaged my life.
I mean,
in the last 3 years.
These are chapters of your life where you're just like, and you just have to stomach it. Don't you? Just, I remember those years. We were rubbish and I hated it. So odd, isn't it?
But it's different. It's different if you're like a Bournemouth fan. You're not hating this, are you? But they'll never be able to do anything other than what they're doing. But it's a different thing. It's like what happens is you become a club the size of Tottenham, especially a club the size of Tottenham, not through success on the pitch, but just, you know, ingenious business design and global branding strategy that's really worked, right? That's why Tottenham are a huge football club and generate so much more money. But as a fan, you exist in this mini league of these rich clubs.
Yeah.
And we're bottom every single year.
Yeah, I've said this previously. I think Everton are the worst club to support.
Yeah, they had it once.
They had it for a second. But if you're born after 19, let's be honest, after 1992, because you won't have remembered 1995, then because you'll be three, then you've just had utter general misery throughout. Yeah. I'd love to know people's, if you think about your whole lifetime as a football fan, what percentage of happiness have you been happy?
I think actually you're right. Everton have it much worse than Spurs, much worse.
And miles worse.
Their fans have every right to be furious for what's going on.
Totally.
You know, it's not their fault.
I think we could make a little table here. This could be interesting. I don't know if anyone's up for it.
Should we do a Premier League table of the best or worst to support?
Happy ratings, yeah. What
happy
like
ratings.
Be it the season or what do you think? Lifetime or season? It's probably lifetime. I think I want to go lifetime. Because do you know who's the most enjoyable club to support then? Brentford.
Yeah. Yes. Brentford and Brighton right now, they are on top of the moon.
Yeah.
Brighton are about to qualify for Europe for the first time in their history. Of their club.
Sam isn't there? On top of the moon?
What did I say?
Over the moon. On top of the world.
On top of the moon. Makes more sense to me.
I mean, uninhabitable. Is that a word?
What's the other one? On top of
the world, over the moon.
Top of the world. I mean, he's top of the world. Is that right? Brighton and Brentford, though, are out there. The problem with Man City is, and their happiness, right? This is good, actually. Is because they have so much success, the degrees of happiness they can feel when they win stuff is diminished season upon season.
Yeah.
Once they've done the treble, there is nothing left for them to conquer. They've done the most difficult thing.
Should we do last 20 years just so we can like box it off?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the comments, whoever you support, any league, I want 20. So the last 20 years, go have a look through the seasons, reminisce in your mind, and then give us a percentage of, maybe you just do, you go through your seasons and give yourself a happy, unhappy, and then give us a percentage from that and put it in the comments, please.
Cameron Fraser says, I'm 26. The first year I watched this properly was 2005 Miracle of Istanbul.
It's a good year. It's a good 20-year period. Chelsea fans are generally happy. But the problem is maybe you need a bit more nuance because I wonder how much, have they been more, actually, they've definitely not been, well, because well, what, it's so entitled, the entitlement factor's crucial here.
100%.
Because Chelsea 100%. And Arsenal fans, during a period, they will have been really annoyed. They would have been more angry than, say, a QPR fan because you're just sort of, you take it. Do you know what I mean? It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. We need to figure out the criteria, maybe.
Well, Liverpool are interesting because it's certainly in Cameron's position here is because he started at the top and then they had the necessary dip you need in order to appreciate the come up again. So Cameron's had it pretty good.
Yeah.
Because he had Istanbul to start with, then a dip in general quality.
Providing perspective. Support. Yeah, good point.
Exactly. And then Klopp took over and then their ride has just been incredible. So, yeah, he's had a good run of it as Cameron.
Thomas Martin says Everton 10%, Bolton 15%. 15% happiness. That is tough, man.
Mate, I'm the season. Did they come up this season?
They're in the playoffs. How are you getting on, Rob? I've forgotten. Did you draw the first one? Anyway, right, lots to get through. Comments of the week. Bradford Reedford. I know. Big up Slug Life. Do we slugs think that we... Oh, yeah, this is a whimsical thought. I thought it was good. Do we slugs think that we rate footballers based on their technical ability and not actual output? For example...
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I think we rate Harry Kane as lower in the pecking order because he doesn't score beautiful goals such as Shearer's Thunderbolts or such as a player like Messi who can dance his way past 14 players before chipping the keeper. What do we reckon that we like to know? I'd like to know what Flav and James' opinion on amazing footballers who are underrated because they weren't marketable.
I think Kane's...
I'm not sure Kane's the right example.
No, but if he played for Man City or someone, he would have a much better run of it and be rated higher.
That's true. That's very true. Who's like absolutely fantastic players that they just weren't marketable?
Lee Trundle.
I mean, never played in the Prem, but yeah, okay.
What? So what, suddenly Premier League is the be all and end all of football, is it, James?
I think it's the top level.
Lee Trundle was the...
Lee Trundle was marketable.
Well, he was god on the pitch, but he just loved beer and pizza, and that's why he never made it. But he was a. I think, to be honest, my favourite players, Brad, the ones that don't get their day in the sun as often, is the mercurial ones, the mercurial players like Letizia and Ginola, and these players that could on their day do something special, but were inconsistent enough to be wholly ignored most of the time.
I think the complete opposite. Those players that you've just spoken about are players that get loads that we talk about because of the moments.
They're my favourite.
Despite providing the consistency.
Yeah.
What about, so like players like Modric, Modric down the road won't get it because he's not that marketable. Because let's be honest.
What you're going to say about it?
He's not the best looking lad.
No, this is the thing.
The hair's a bit naughty. He's not sort of muscular. He's like a little cyclist out there, isn't he? Like Barella, I was looking at him last night. I was thinking, yeah, he's got the body of a cyclist. That's probably why he's able to get all over the pitch. Bloody love Barella. But yeah, Modric, I think, is one. Iniesta's probably one of them. Ozil deserved more. Interesting. Crouchy. Was Crouchy actually better than he...
No, I mean, I think he maximised the
Do you know who had a great career? Doesn't really get the credit. Dion Dublin.
Yeah, he was. He delivered consistently in defence and attack. When yeah. He came from Cambridge to United, wasn't it? Was it that? Or no, Cambridge to Villa to United.
Sorry. Catherine, I just can't hear you talk about McGinn anymore because you threw him under the bus. You absolutely hated the guy and you're saying McGinn's not getting the flowers he deserves. You were after him, Catherine. Yes. You were like, get him out of my club, as were all Aston Villa fans. Aston Villa fans, and this is going to rip, because Aston Villa fans are quite loud. They do get angry.
They're quite brash when they win, by the way.
Oh, are they? Oh, yeah, I've noticed that as well.
Very quiet when they lose. Not just Catherine, there's others as well.
No Villa fan can really sort of show off with McGinn anymore, because you all hated him. And it was completely unfair.
Because I'm unaware of that. How did you pick up on them?
I remember. It was at the start of the season. They were all after him. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong.
All right.
Tell me if I'm wrong. And if you are going to say that, then you're wrong. Let's keep moving. Jeff Beasley.
Stoker Pop just said, and here we have stairs leading up to the bedroom. Matthew and Dublin.
Do you know, he's bloody good at that show. He is good. He's got great energy about him, Dion Dublin. I do like him. Probably one of my favourites. Jeff Beasley, just checking in. Oh, this is great. Jeff Beasley's working his way through all the podcasts. And this, I wonder if this could be a bit as well, as you can kind of throwback Thursday kind of thing. Like if you go and listen to an old podcast, let us know like the sort of state of play. So he said, just checking in, doing good and still listening to all the pods from the very beginning of the show. Oh, by the way, if you want to go right to the beginning, you have to go to Ball Street, and it was called One for the Weekend. I'm now up to Bale at Spurs season, where Flav had so much excitement until he realised Bale couldn't be bothered. We're currently supporting Sheffield United after giving up on Ole? Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Roy Keane is the type of guy. We're currently doing that as well. And I'm so glad I found this show. I honestly can't live without it now. Up the slug.
Jeff.
Cheers,
it's
Jeff.
It's so weird. It's so weird. I have absolutely no knowledge of any of that. I don't remember that Roy Keane is the type of guy. I remember back in
You
Solskjaer,
don't remember that? Sure you do.
Well, we kind of feel like I've done it with so many people.
Roy Keane, it was like, you know, it was like childbirth and his missus. And like, and they're going, well done. And he says, what? That's your job. Yeah, it was that time.
Oh, I remember. Is that where that came from? That one.
Jeffrey, you were born to, you're here to bear children. That's what you came to do.
It's your job.
it's your job. Catherine, class act. She says, oh, hey, I love McGinn, but he did have a bad start to the season. Well, what I will say, one must beware previous statements.
Okay. Yeah, but Catherine, that all of Villa did.
It was too hot.
Basically, say what Catherine's asking, right? Catherine is asking us to do what Aston Villa fans didn't at the start of the season, which is seeing him what others are not. Your own player, and you wanted him out.
What I'm saying is, here's another bit. See, do you know what we said this? We said this in the mailbag. Because someone wrote a comment last week going, this podcast is dying. And you said the great point of, you can't run to the bits. The bits will come to you. Okay?
Yeah.
Here's another bit for you. Who's a player you threw in the bin who shut you up?
Oh, no, loads.
McGinn is one of yours, for sure.
McGinn's one for Villa. Let us know yours in the comments below as well, because this is interesting. Mine currently is Emerson Royale, and it's happened in a season. I never wanted to see his face again. He did a no-look pass. I've talked to him before. No-look pass off the pitch.
I don't mind them if you're 3-0 up.
Find your man.
You
We were 1-0 down. He got booed off the pitch. He's come back, and I'm legit. I'm not saying this. This is not hyperbole. He's the best defender we have.
Right. I'm not saying, so what I would say with this, one must beware mediocrity. Now, sometimes you've got to zoom out, right? So I do this all the time, right? I'll look at our squad and you go, this person's having a good season. But sometimes that person having a good season is a great example of why you're not having a good season. For example,
100% agree.
This is another bit. Who's your barometer player? So my barometer player through the years was Jamie Mackie. If Jamie Mackie is a crucial player in your team, something's probably wrong.
Yeah, Højbjerg for us. He's crucial to us and he's not good enough. That's a problem.
There you go. Barometer players.
That's good. I like that. Barometer players is very good.
I'm trying to think who's a good barometer player. Luke Shaw's a good one for Man United. If everything's going great, what player? Best left back in the world. If it's going wrong, he's like, can't defend.
Playing centre back.
Yeah. Oh, he's had a good year. Mike VSA. Slugs in the Wild. Hello. I went for wings with my three mates in Wingmans in Soho, London yesterday. Highly recommend it, by the way. Do love a wing. We're all outside of what James would define as the demographic. For those of you who don't know, the demographic is slim, sort of drain pipe legs, curly hair at the top, probably a fade on the side.
Demographic for what?
For people that will know and watch the content. That's generally what I consider the bracket when I'm out and about.
Right.
Yeah. Probably about 23, 24. Ollie Sage, basically.
Yeah. Not bad.
He's in love. We are talking about how you can learn a lot about a person based on what podcast they listen to. My one mate, Dan, I've known, we've known each other for a few years at this point. But as I start talking about JLA, and a podcast of his that I enjoy a bit more outside of sports, I see him look at me and smile. He says, are we talking about Jaffin? It turns out he is a slug. He's been one for years. We then freak out about how this is happening after knowing each other for a while. And we then start trying to explain to the other two lads about Fleet Services and Noshfest. They were confused about all of it, basically. We spoke about the live event, how I went on my own and how he didn't go in the end. Well done, Mike. And next live event, we are there with our slug brethren. That's lovely. We need to think about the next live event. When should we do it, guys?
It says we were mates for a reason, Dan. So his name's Dan.
Well done, Dan.
Mike, what does VSA stand for? Let us know.
Do we want to touch on last week's beef? Beef uncovered. Flav has beef with... Coach's voice. Never thought I'd say that.
So weird.
I'm really dialing up the beef here, really, because basically you went after Coach's voice last week. And let me read out what you said.
I didn't really.
SWJ said, Flav with the early power move when coining the phrase tactics nonce, not the club, for watchers of coaches for Coach's voice. At first Jim laughed until he realised it applied to him.
I want to squash the beef to some degree, right? Because
that's not good for views. So coach's voice then got in the comments and gave you the eyeballs.
Yeah, listen, I'm just saying in that moment I needed an example that would have illustrated exactly the kind of people I was talking about. If you're sitting down just knocking one out to coach's voices, I don't want to go for a pint with you. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think that. I'm not keen on that either. Just to be clear, I think that's just stroking one out.
Slowly stroking one out as Will Steel talks about how he.
Holloway talking about Blackpool and how they went up that year. Charlie Adam, 3-2. We said we were going to go after them. We play three up top.
I can't believe.
That is optimistic.
I can't believe they managed to secure Jose Mourinho for this.
look how quickly he moves the counters.
Jose Mourinho talking about a game that was 15 years ago. It doesn't apply to modern football. But the thing is, like, if the coach's voice want beef, you can get beef, right? But the thing is, I know the person. I'm pretty sure I've worked out who the actual person was who posted that. Who's that, hiding behind the hands of
Coach's voice.
Yeah, the guy behind that account. I know. I'm almost certain I know who it is, right? And I've worked this out. Because I spent time, I was thinking about how do I react to this? And I'm thinking, do you know how I react? Telling the world the name of the person behind those eyes. Do you want me to do that?
I mean, I don't know.
His name begins with an A, and his second name begins with a P.
Right. AP, respond in the comments. Let's see if we can get another week out of this. How do you feel about the comments from Flav? Rob just made me laugh here. Is Flav having a tug or riding a horse? Very good. But yeah, Coach's voice. Look, I mean, speaking personally, I've got to say, I'm a huge fan of the channel. I feel like there's a very clear synergy between our channels, and it would be great to work with you.
I think it's good stuff.
I'm a member. I'm that much of a loser. I don't know if I've told people this. I will watch the sessions that they have sessions of like that Paul Furlong's done or a Chelsea coach has done, and I'll watch those sessions.
What do you mean sessions?
Like a training session.
What, like a camera on the side of a pitch watching them do their training?
Yeah.
Well, if you've got nothing to do, aren't you? You keep going to talk, banging on about how busy you are, that you can't do a mailbag because you're so busy.
I haven't done it for a while.
Sitting on there just like that, going, Paul Furlong.
God, that's a lot of cones.
Look how many balls he's got in that sack.
Come on.
All the balls in the sack.
Yeah, no,
I got it. You know what I mean? Got it.
Finley Paul, how about this? So, you know, so last couple of weeks we've been talking about different changes we could make to the format of football. And Willie said last week.
James. Guess what they were talking about on TalkSport?
What?
Yesterday.
What?
Apparently, what's his face? Who's the ball geezer? Play for Spurs.
Danny Murphy,
right? He's come up with this novel idea, Danny Murphy's idea, of a playoff for the Champions League.
Are you serious?
100%. And they're like, oh my God, this is such a great idea. And I'm like, fucking hell.
That is bullshit.
It's ours.
That is, it's not fucking yours, it's mine.
Oh, it's James, it's ours.
That's
right.
That's disgraceful.
We need, can we do a campaign? It just seems a little bit petty if we just bring this to light, but I just kind of want everyone to know that this was mine/your idea.
I've never heard anyone put it together the way I very clearly put it together.
So the addition to theirs was that you'd sort out the Europa Leagues in the same playoffs as well. So people that didn't, you'd have one Champions League place and then the two remaining Europa League places.
That's what we said 2 weeks ago. We said that.
We said that as well.
And we said the Conference League as well. We said the runner-up gets Europa League and then the two that lost play in the Europa League Conference playoff final.
Yeah. Now. To be fair, it doesn't take much to arrive at that assumption. It's mad that we would.
Why has no one done it? We've been doing it for bloody years. We were talking about this for at least 2 years, 3 years maybe.
2 years. 2 years.
Come on.
Jim White's going, now that, you know.
Well, this one will rumble on. Oh, that was sure. One thing's for sure. Right. I'm trying to think what else he said. So are you selling me, Simon? What I think you're saying is all footballers should be maimed. No, sorry, no, Jim, that's not what I'm saying.
James, that is a really good impression. Really good.
Thank you. That is cheeky stuff. Anyway, Finley Paul says, how about instead of a minimum of 39 points, like was proposed earlier in the pod, the bottom three go down as well as any team in the bottom eight, for example, could be more or less, that go down that haven't scored a certain amount of goals throughout the season. So they must have scored at least 40 goals. I'm sure it doesn't come without its own issues, but it would be class watching teams near the bottom going all out attack and trying to score 8 goals in the last 2 games to stay up. Don't hate it. What I would say is it could lead to repercussions higher up the league, couldn't it? But
Yeah.
As long as you know what's going on.
They would just get, if they're playing a team in the top, they would just get destroyed, wouldn't they, if they were way too open? That's a problem.
Yeah.
There used to be like, there was talk once of bonus points for goals scored. Like if you scored more right. than a certain...
Like rugby. Awarded.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't think that's of use for keeping the sort of the competition alive because it's not free scoring enough a sport.
I don't. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't. Don't know if this is a conversation for right now. Maybe we can do it next week, but because I haven't watched all of it. But there's that show about VAR. There's a lot of footage about watching how VAR works
on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, but there's also a documentary coming out about it as well.
That sounds horrific.
And it's just explaining exactly how it works and what. But I'm watching it. I'm watching the audio and that, and I'm like, this isn't making me feel any better about any of this, really. This is making it more obvious that it's just human beings making decisions, unless they've got those little lines. Then it's just opinion again.
Maybe just go through it all, and at the end, like the last line is, and you know, it's subjective, so maybe we just scrap it.
Roll
credits.
They're competing for each other as well. He goes, possible handball, possible offside, possible, and you're like, fucking just.
What a horrible way! But that's it. That is a great example.
I mean, they have the negatives.
Yeah. I mean, they kind of have to. That's the point. That's your job. But it's not how we want to live, is it? I just don't think it is. In a new low for the podcast, Nosh chat. 21 noshes last week. We finished the podcast at the end asking if you do receive or give. And feel free to let us know in the comments and we'll see how many we will get. Disappointingly, just 21 noshes last week.
I got one last week.
Did you? Congratulations. That's fantastic.
Yeah, surprise.
Well done. No, well done.
Came out of nowhere.
You lucky boy. Did it? Came out of nowhere. Did it?
I wasn't expecting it.
Really? Well, I mean, they're the best.
Well, them one.
One of them. That is such a it's a power move which is have you ever done
why,
that?
Why like this? what makes people go?
I don't know. That's it. That is a thing that people generally think to truly enjoy it.
Yeah, you've got to do that. But what's worse, Jim? What's the worst pose, Jim? That's all right. It's a bit like American Psycho, but it's all right.
Yeah.
Worst is this. It's the dad pose. Hands on the hips.
I mean, it is tricky. What are you supposed to do with your hands? Very difficult. Very difficult. What's the right place for your hands to go? there is an element of that where you kind of go, is this what I'm supposed to do to really relax and enjoy the moment? And then you realize after about 10 seconds, you go, actually, I was more comfortable here. So you put your arms back down.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just a lot of people just like awkwardly got their hands out because they don't want to upset anyone.
Just like that.
Have I told you my story, my mate? Guy I lived with, he was he was getting a blowjob and he could see the remote, and it was on the bed, he could see the remote control just right next to him, and he was sort of thinking, he sort of quietly like went and got the remote and put Sky Sports News on and put it back down. Oh dear, because I mean, it can be incredible. You know, it's I think at first it's a relaxing experience, isn't it? So that leads to that, doesn't it? That's sort of the answer.
I guess.
Anyway, Mike Potter said, after watching the pod on YouTube on Friday afternoon, filled with joy, I asked my other half for a cheeky nosh in the hope of getting one to update the comment section as requested. To my amazement, my partner replied, no, because we're not at Fleet Services. I'm currently some strange of mix of proud and devastated. Ah, fair play. Good, that's a good way out. Sam Beacon.
Oh, Flav's YouTube channel. No. Oh, right, sorry, go on.
Oh, that was from a couple of weeks ago. That was in the running order.
But, yeah, I mean, but we say it again.
We've pushed it.
Say it again.
Yeah, we're in.
Push it again now.
But yeah, the fighting podcast. Go check it out. Which players will stay and which players will go? Some will hit, some will may miss.
Didn't do well. Didn't do as well as I thought.
Mate, that's welcome to my... And it just punches you in the gut, doesn't it?
Link in description below.
Sure. Okay.
Sam say so?
Sam Biggs said, all being well, I'm due a nosh this evening as I return home from university. All being well.
All being well.
I will reply to this comment to whether this was the correct assumption or purely blind faith. A few hours later. Actually, sorry, 3 days later. Lads, she fell asleep. It didn't happen. Although I got one the next morning, which is arguably better. Agreed?
Can I just say, this Sam would have been in this awkward situation where they're like, he's... Now, it's been discussed. The blowjob has been discussed. Tricky. But I don't want to keep bringing it up, saying, okay, so are we going to do this blowjob or not? Yeah. Like, you've got to kind of wait. And then the longer on it goes, the more disheartened you become. You're like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Sort of you're watching something on telly or like the film ends and you at the end you then just go, oh. You just turn it off. Good film.
Yeah. Film that.
Oh. Now what?
What do we do now?
Did you do that as a signal, Flav?
No, I just go, it's Jim. Turn it off, right, and then just go, right.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Me standing. Let's get this going. Yeah. Do you want to kneel? Do you like to kneel? Or I can come to you, or you can. No. She fell asleep. Did she? The real question is, did she fall asleep? Was she
pretending? But maybe she changed her mind and she just didn't want to do it.
She's complete. Well, verbal contract is binding. No.
Check. You actually have to pull my pull him down there.
Finally, this has got white teeth-esque, I must say. So finally is when, like, and we are at the moment of the season where some moments will, you know, you will, for example, let's say if Forest win, I think Forest need a point maybe. Forest win this weekend. The Forest fans can go, finally, we stayed up. Because generally when they come up, they go back down. Sadly, apart from that one season, 94-95, where they were amazing. David Abbott, he said, footballing finally. As a Hibs fan, we hadn't won the Scottish Cup in 114 years. A mental stat for a club of our size in Scotland. We'd lost 9 finals since 1902, including losing 5-0 to our city rivals Hearts in 2012. When the ref blew the whistle for us to win in 2016, we destroyed all of our rivals' songbooks, pitch invaded, and sang in the stands. But the crowning moment was my granddad, in one of his last games he ever made it to, turning to me and my dad and saying, I made it.
That's amazing.
Finally. That's good.
Finally. That's like, beautiful, David.
That gets me, David. Well done.
They've got such a way, the Scottish, haven't they? They've got a way. This is the year, isn't it? So I know about that, the Hibernian win, because they sung, what's that song? They took over the pitch. They're on the pitch and they were all singing this same song. I think it was a Proclaimers song. I don't know what it was, but have a look at it. It's fucking epic on YouTube. Okay. You can see it.
Another finally, less successful, Tom Hurdle. Slightly hesitant Everton fan here saying, I think we've had our finally moment after the Brighton game. Mental that last week I said, I don't think we'll win another game and we'll finish bottom. No, I think we'll get something against City. I thought you would as well.
But didn't. I was so glad you didn't.
Sure.
So glad.
Big weekend. Huge weekend for those teams. Who's going to get the 3 points? I think 3 points might get you over the line.
Tom just said, haven't won it in 100 years and Flav perks up. Relatable. Honestly, I was watching that going, I can relate to this.
We sort of touched on this quickly. Handsome 11. This was on Twitter this week. No loss to Sheik for me. Yeah, what people think is attractive.
That front three is an absolute disaster.
Disgrace. Well, I don't know. I don't want to pick it apart, but all three of those have acne, don't they? Now, acne is something that comes and goes. You know, no, but I know, but it's like, it's, you I know. We're trying to find the most handsome players. Havertz.
It's not even that. It's just the shape of his face. It's not having it. But Fernandes as well in midfield. It's weird. It's a weird, weird choice, I think.
Jorginho. Where are you getting Jorginho? I mean, Nunes and Alvarez, good looking lads. Sorry, Havertz. You've got a lot of pluses in life and lots of money, talent, everything. How on earth are you the most handsome player?
Well, the name of the Twitter account is called Havertz Smiles. Sure, yeah. Sure. I think a lot of this is to, you know, wind people up.
Well, you've got
Loftus-Cheek should be in there. Come on.
How's Loftus-Cheek in there?
That's crazy.
It's madness. And Laporte over like Ruben Diaz. I just thought that's a great shout. Smith got involved. Paulo Gazzaniga is still a Fulham player.
Gazzaniga is probably the best looking footballer there has ever been.
I can't disagree.
He's got blue eyes as well.
No, he hasn't.
He's got blue eyes as well. Hasn't he? Yes.
No, I was excited. No, that was a no.
Oh, right. Sorry. I was looking at pictures of him. I couldn't see your face.
Yeah. Wow, really? Yeah. Cool. Just tall, dark hands. He's got it all. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, there he is. Just a stunning man. Bit like, you know, it's like Anthony Joshua. Yeah. Just gorgeous. And there was loads. Like, I thought it was interesting. Nicky Hawkins chipped in. To Scamacca.
He's good looking. Who's that?
Scamacca.
Scamacca, yeah. Good looking man.
Good looking boy.
Italians are good looking, aren't they? I would say the Italians are per capita.
Catholic is a disgrace. Virgil van Dijk, Alisson. I think Alisson, fair enough. But Edison,
if you have a goalkeeper, it's Gazzaniga. Edison's good looking, I think. Mm.
I'd love it if it got Spurs.
I think we've literally got the ugliest bunch of players that exists, Spurs. I think one good-looking guy.
I think Son's a good-looking guy.
What is it about his face? Do you mean?
I think he's pretty, isn't he? I would say.
He does. He is quite pretty, I guess. Winks is quite feminine. But no, well, we Spurs haven't really got any.
There's a lot of good-looking centre-backs out there. Felipe, he's got something about him. Fabian Shaw, for sure. Callum Wilson's a good-looking boy. It's a great shout.
John Stones?
Yeah, Catherine says 100% robbed. Is that true?
Really?
I'm not seeing it. I'll be honest. I'm not seeing it. I was thinking it'd be funny if it got to a point where that sort of became a part of punditry for sort of the better looking people. And they sort of asked, you know, you talk about him as a player, go, Michael Owen, would you though? And they'd go, no. I think I would. I don't think it'll get to that point. Let's be honest. Game's gone. People are angry. Alisson, not over Gazzaniga for me. Gazzaniga is just...
Gazzaniga is number one.
Look at him. Blue eyes. Wow. I think I get a bit starstruck. I'm sorry. Four indeed. Right. Let's finish up with... Oh, yeah. No way out. Over tipping chat very quickly. Tom Smith. What are we on? Tom Smith. Review chat. So last week we were talking about this guy who gave reviews and we weren't sure about it. He said, there's a bloke round by me who keeps leaving one-star Google reviews to local places with comments saying something like, not been here yet, can't comment. Just seems a bit unhinged to me. That is weird. I'd never have the energy to write a review. Would you, Flav?
Sorry, I wasn't listening to any of that.
I knew it as well. I was just hoping with the final question that I threw at you, something might have just locked in. I knew you weren't listening.
This is not the first time in the two-man podcast that I've checked out.
Right. Look, we're nearly there. Just give us a couple more minutes. Tarkovsky's a good show. He's good looking. Centre-backs are good looking, aren't they? Alfie Newman. Here's a question for you, Flav. Are you listening? You ready? In this two-man podcast. Yeah. Am I supposed to be tipping for a haircut? I didn't know that we do that sort of thing here.
I think that's pretty normal. I think in terms of... the environments that require tipping, hairdressers is up there, along with restaurants and stuff like that.
Okay.
But interestingly, a calf, I very rarely tip in a calf because you eat your food, you pay up front and you walk out. Whereas in a restaurant, I don't. And you could argue that it would go further in a calf than it would in a restaurant.
Yeah.
They've got to work on their game. So it's a lot of these calves, right? There's greasy spoons. You'll pay up front. You're not thinking about a tip when you're paying up front. And they'll often have a little cup saying tips. You're like, well, I can't put a quid in there. It's weird because I don't know what's going to happen, do I?
Yeah, where's that quid going? Oh, hey.
Much better if you go and settle up afterwards. Much better. Okay. If you want tips, I guess.
There you go. Very good. A tip on tipping. Mm. Calling it. We'll finish off with this. Thomas Griffiths. Bit of a short... music to my ears, right? First of all, if you want me to read a comment, it is, Flav. Ready? Bit of a shorter calling it. Full stop. Oh.
Osh.
Oh, it's just yummy. I know people don't like me saying the word yummy, but I do say it a lot because I've got a little boy.
You said it before then. You've been saying it a long time.
Oh, yeah. Bit of a shorter calling it.
Yummy.
Begin. That's from our extras, isn't it?
Begin. Never do that while you're receiving a blowjob.
Yummy.
All right. What? Let us know in the comments below. What's the worst thing you can say whilst receiving head?
And it can't be. Don't say the same as previous, which was that.
That'll do, little pig. Yeah. No. So what's the worst? What's the worst thing you can say?
Yeah. What's the worst thing you've said during sex?
As well, but I need the. What's the worst thing you can say while receiving a blowjob? yumma. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. Okay. So it begins with admitting how dumb and careless this was. So when I was 18, a few months after passing my driving test, I was heading back from a mate's house where I'd been smoking a bit of weed, which we don't condone. Don't do that. In my mind, it was very late, and all the roads back home were quiet back roads. Anyway, once I had dropped off a friend in his village, a few minutes down the road, a large creature appears out of the fog. Genuinely scared, I slow right down and stop about 10 metres away from the shadowy outline. It then proceeds to run towards my car and I'm confronted by a 6-foot hairy, kind of creepy, looking llama. Stunned, the llama proceeds to circle around my car and stops right next to my driver's side window. In hindsight, I should have filmed this llama, but I was very high and I couldn't keep my eyes off it. It felt like I was in Jurassic Park or maybe even Jaws. I'm now face to face with it and honestly thought I was hallucinating. We are stopped in the middle of nowhere, lined up like we're about to race 100 metres. Realising that this llama does not understand the highway code, I pull away. To this day, I am wondering if it really did ever happen.
I'm not going to call that. I think that's true. And only because living in the country myself, the amount of animals that come out and walk across the road, and huge, big ones as well, like stags. I went to a place called Great Bedwin the other day, and doesn't matter. There's a train station there, but there was one of the most amazing sights I've ever seen with my own eyes. Is this road and the woods on each side, and they almost like it creates this sort of arch all the way as you drive down this road. Beautiful, right? And this deer came out into the road and stopped, and it was followed by a stag with great big horns and another two deer, and they just slowly walked across, stopped in the road for a second and carried on. I was like, fucking hell, did I just see that? Incredible.
Yeah, I wasn't listening. Right, guys, thanks a lot for joining us this week. Thank you to our patrons in particular. And we will see you in the mailbag next week. Good luck with the rest of your week. And I hope you get a nosh. Right. Or give one. And let us know what
Freddie,
you say.
Freddie, just quickly, Freddie Mason said the worst thing you can say is, I needed this. Oh, dear.
You could little power move there, quite a harsh one. You could do if you know you haven't had a nosh for ages. You go, God, it's been weeks. Put the pressure on that, but you obviously got to let them know afterwards. Anyway, enjoy your week. Speak soon.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.